Friday in Paradise at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Great day to come on down, get yourself a cocktail. We got our man, look at Ticker going with a Bloody Mary in the afternoon. Very bold move right there. Get yourself some brown liquor. And remember, kids, it's liquor, then beer in the clear. Beer, then liquor, never sicker. You know that, right, Abe?
Just stick with liquor.
Thank you. There you go.
All night long.
Right on. Hey, we're going to be here until 6 o'clock, and we got plenty to talk about with the schedule that came out. We were joking around to start the show that when, you know, the NFL sort of just took over the world, and it sort of happened sometime, I guess, between 98 and 2002, that it just happened, that all of a sudden the NFL just blows everybody out of the water, and something as simple as a schedule release becomes a multimedia platform event on NFL Network and ESPN, and although technically they're owned by the same group, but it's big. And so every team is kind of, you know, pressured to come up with something cool and creative to talk about their schedule release. Falcons do a video about 6.5 minutes long. And as Abe said, I wonder if some of the younger demographics, younger guys, connect with the This Is Sports Center kind of reference, which the, you know, the old Sports Center promos that were so clever and so funny, going back to when ESPN was clever and funny with Stuart Scott and Dan Patrick and, you know, back in the day. And, you know, when Oberman, before he became a maniac, all that stuff. It was great. And they really just, I thought the Falcons nailed it, some really funny stuff.
Yeah, it was outstanding. A lot of work had to go into it just with the amount of filming they had to do, and then I'm sure the amount of editing. I know they put out a bloopers reel earlier today. I didn't get a chance to see all of that yet. But, yeah, really good job. I think pretty much across the board people have it as one of the top 10 releases, if not higher than that. I saw it sixth somewhere. I saw it in third somewhere in terms of just ranking the release videos. So the Falcons did a great job. Really enjoyed it. You know, it's long. It took me by surprise just how long it was, but the 6.5 minutes did go by fast, made you chuckle. Definitely, if you get some of the references, even if you don't, still really, really good.
Hey, man, we'll be here till 6, as we said. A lot of guys hit us up on the text line. They agreed with what Day-Day and Abe and you and I were chatting about as far as, you know, the games. A lot of folks have said they've always wanted to go to Lambeau. Sure seems like a good fit. You know, if you can get off and play hooky for a Thursday night game, that's the problem. It's not a Sunday.
Point.
You know, so, you know, if you've got the, like, steaky, if you've got the wherewithal to take a 4-day weekend, you can do that. But that's one of the drawbacks there. I wonder how many folks are going to do the Madrid package. We ran into so many Falcon fans over in Berlin. It was a blast, and it was just the energy and just so much fun. And no disrespect to Berlin. Madrid is just a so much more fun city than Berlin. There's a million things to do in Madrid.
Well, this is where you start to get a little – if I were the league, I'd start to pay attention to stuff like this. The carryover of the Falcons being international last year, international this year, because when you start to talk about our fans going to go every single year to different cities year by year, if we ever get to a point where every team, quote, has an international game, how many fans are going to travel year by year by year over there versus if it's once every 3 or 4 years, maybe you can budget for it, plan for it. You know?
But they're talking about, and Roger Goodell is on record with this, that at some point we're going to have every single team in the league is going to play an international game.
It's clearly not about the fans going over there.
No, I mean, let's be honest. The fan has become the least important part of the equation.
There you go.
You know, even, you know, during NFL Sundays, you know, the Falcons do a great job to keep things moving with the music and everything. Like, we got Tigga in the section down below where I sit and a lot of things. But, you know, the commercial breaks, you know, the way the game proceeds, you know, for sometimes when you're in the stadium, you know, change of possession. Timeout.
If you're,
you know, field goal, extra point, timeout. You know, it's just, it's as a fan, the rhythm drives you crazy.
100%, Mike, because I don't go to a ton of games. I do prefer to watch them at home, just being honest. And when I do go to a game and I'm sitting there and I'm like, my goodness, I just don't ever feel like there's so little action at home.
Right.
And maybe I'm looking on my phone or whatever I'm doing. But, Mike, I mean, sometimes sitting in the game is like, I can't believe we're still in the first quarter.
Right. And that's the part of it now where, look, if you've got season tickets, and like, I don't want to get on a rant about PSLs because somebody at the Falcons will get upset, but, you know, you've made it harder for the working man. And look, with the economy, you know, it's kind of, we get mixed signals every week. We stay in our lane. We're not going to talk politics, but there are some things where people, like, for instance, NASCAR, struggling with some attendance because folks who live, you know, in South Carolina to drive up wherever the race is in Tennessee or vice versa, all of a sudden, you know, $75 to $80 to fill up your tank, maybe you tap the brakes on that, pardon the pun. You know, there's people are making, you know, they're cutting here, trimming there. But certainly, if you love the NFL and there's enough Falcon fans to, you know, put 1,000 to 2,000 people in Spain, we're going to do it. It's just, I get the other side of it. If you've got a family and you've got other bills to pay, you cannot rationalize spending $5,000 to take you and your wife or more than that if you're going to take the kids over to Europe.
Yeah, and especially not a second year and a third year.
Right. And the airfare, as we said, airfare right now is just through the roof, and we know why.
Take one of them repositioning cruises. That's what you got to do.
What's that?
Take a repositioning cruise. It takes 2 weeks, but, you know, it's cheaper than some airfare over there sometimes, and you get to take a cruise.
Hey, man, good to see these guys taking off from down south side. Hey, we're hit Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Let's talk some dogs. All right, man, we just had DJ Shockley on, and I was asking, and I'll ask you, Abe, the same question. Because, and again, Kirby, don't get this confused. I'm not saying the world has passed Kirby by. He's the best of the best of the best. Sir, that's a Men in Black reference if you got to play ball. But as far as where Georgia is, though, and how he's approaching building his team, doesn't it sort of ramp up and reach to this moment where this season, with Gunnar Stockton as an upperclassman, with some of the things you've got as far as the guys who've stayed, the money you've paid for transfer portal, this is where we got to culminate with a championship?
I can't quite go there. Because not just for him, for any program.
And I know it's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, and that's where
and
I'm
the
at.
World has changed. But, I mean, the SEC has slipped behind the Big Ten because Georgia hasn't been able to win.
Yeah, I don't buy that necessarily either just because of the championships. But I think for Georgia the idea is that you feel like you're in the discussion. Right, and there were times last year, especially early in the season before the defense kind of got going, you never felt Georgia was in the discussion to win a championship. We kind of convinced ourselves of that down the stretch, and then obviously they faced some of the better teams, and they were not in the discussion. There's no blank mandate of championship or bust, right? I don't think it's a failed season if you don't win the title. But I do think Georgia needs to be in the discussion where you're like, hey, we are probably one of the three best teams, and if something here goes our way, we're going to win the national championship.
Carl and I have these conversations with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, and they get heated over the last couple of months because Mike's of the opinion, well, you know, the year you lost to Notre Dame, you're just lucky you're there. I'm like, well, no, you're one of the top 10 teams in college football. And then last year you had a rematch with Ole Miss, and like, I get it. Was it a cakewalk?
Well, you can't be one of the top 10. Right. You need to be one of the top three.
Well, that's it. But yeah. I mean, my thing last year is you have the experience. You've got the coaching staff. You had a coach coaching in his second game as a head coach, and here you are, if you're the Georgia Bulldogs, you sat on a lead, and I got to be honest with you. I'll die on this hill. Had a great conversation with Zachariah Branch last week. Bobo, I think, sometimes gets too cute and starts using the wrong tools in the toolbox as far as sticking with the go-to. The point I'm getting to is you could have been in the national – I believe that Georgia could have been in the national championship the last year for sure. Maybe not 2 years ago
because
Gunnar was thrown to the Wolves after the injury, you know, to Carson.
Yeah, I think we got tricked by what their defense was last year. And I know they looked very good for a stretch, but I also think that there were a lot of holes defensively. They did not pressure the quarterback enough. We know that. To circle it back to the original discussion, I do think this year is much more set up for them to compete. Mm. I do think they're going to be a little bit better in terms of getting after the quarterback. I think their secondary is going to be very good once again. I think the offensive line is going to be strong once again. We know what they've got in the backfield. And now the question is, what do you get out of your playmakers on the outside? You lose Zachariah Branch. Does that open things up, make the offense look a little bit different? I do think they are set up better to compete for a national championship this year than I did last year. But, I think we got tricked into believing they were championship caliber last year after spending half of the season, maybe a little bit more, saying, I don't think they have it. Now all of a sudden they do, and then we're disappointed when in the playoffs they don't. I think we got fooled, myself included, by the way. Like, I was one who said no, and then I was like, I'm back in.
You got a 2-score lead on Ole Miss, and you blew it. I mean, you've got the experience.
That's in the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we're not talking down the stretch.
But you know, but Trinidad Chambliss, talked a lot because I like his game, and some guys always joke, you're obsessed with this guy. Well, I think if you check a lot of boxes for Atlanta, you know, he's a dual threat, you know, and it would be pretty nice. Is he undersized? Well, okay, we'll get out the tape measure. But as far as that game, you had the more explosive plays, the more explosive athlete at quarterback was on the other team.
Right.
And Gunner's got to learn to throw over the middle. There's a lot of things that have to happen this year for this team to do and reach these goals. Meanwhile, Georgia did issue a statement. We spoke yesterday about Jamar Lee Riddle. Nobody knows much about him because he's a transfer. He's one of the, he was in the portal from East Carolina. But he got busted down in Clinton County by Brunswick. He was driving like a maniac, basically. That's what the police allege. And then when they pulled him over, he had some stuff in the car he shouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. So waiting to see where that goes. They're not going to comment. Like, standard line, nothing new. Not going to be talking about this right now because the case is ongoing. That was from a football program spokesperson. George, are you worried about them losing out on recruits? Now, again, I don't know how many – can you have too many quarterbacks? Is everybody, you got to, you know, please stay. Please stay. Seems like Kirby's got things good with Puglisi, and he's got the, you know, he's got a good chain. The reason I bring it up is Georgia loses out on a recruit named Peter Bork from up in Massachusetts, who goes with James Franklin, who slowly but surely is starting to put things together at Virginia Tech, including taking a lot of guys that he had at Penn State and doing a good job recruiting, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about Georgia's
Cruton.
This is, I know we're on radio.
Cruton.
Hand quotes, failure to complete the job on these recruits.
There have been some guys.
They'll be fine. I think they're going to be
like
fine.
Three or four guys in the last 2 weeks, so I'm just saying.
All right, what are they?
It's the life's blood
program. Fifth now in the nation in recruiting? Fourth? You know, I'm not too concerned.
All right.
I see a lot more guys that are going to Georgia that I'm impacted and impressed by than are not. So,
speaking of which, Ellis Robinson, KJ Bolden named to CBS Sports 26 most feared defensive players. Brad Crawford put that list together. Look, nothing else to do. They're coming up with some clickbait for you in the spring.
Look, I got some Brad Crawford articles I want to discuss myself. But
right.
Feared defensive players was not on the list.
Again, you know what? Nice to be on a list from some schmuck at CBS who says, fear those dogs. I'm just saying, Day-Day, what? I'm just saying, this is the time of year when these articles
here's
get
the
written.
Real.
Lay it on me.
All right, here's the topic.
Lay it on me.
Is this Georgia defense going to be good enough with only two of the 26 most feared defensive players in the country?
Well, I don't know that it's just that it's two. I think it's a good sign, though, that especially for KJ, who's clearly become a leader on that side of the ball, I think it's a good sign that you do see some, you know, some dogs getting this kind of recognition. And we'll have to see because at the end of the day, it does boil down to the door.
I don't know, Day-Day. When they were winning national championships, you would have had four or five
guys.
Well,
but here's the thing. But it goes back to the recruiting conversation.
If you're not on the Brad Crawford list, you're not going
to
win.
But it goes back to the recruiting conversation that you guys were just having. Like, Kirby's not getting that level amount of players anymore.
I have this Georgia fan. The guy's name is Rex, and I think he lives in Rex. But anyway, he always hits me up. He's like, you're trying to make Kirby sound like Dabo. No, I'm not saying like life has passed him by, but you know, you are doing things in a more analog mode than the rest of the college football world, for lack of a better phrase. I mean,
look,
you're doing it old school.
I understand the comparison and all that. I've said that in this, quote, new era with the expanded playoff field,
right,
I think one championship every 7-8 years is
yes.
going to be expected.
It's the hardest thing in the world.
You're not winning back-to-backs in two out of every three.
Right. Right.
You give me one in every seven or two out of ten, you're doing an outstanding job.
You raise the bar. Georgia fans are spoiled, but that's life. Hey, man, Georgia Tech's raised the bar with Brent Key. He tells Andy Staples that Alberto Mendoza, Fernando's younger brother, is now the projected starting quarterback for Georgia Tech. So Brent Key was on with us and was not willing to spill the team. We'll have to break his balls next week. Why you say to Andy, you won't say it to us?
I don't know.
Something changed.
Yes.
In a week's time.
Hey, man, 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a full bar, guys, over here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on down. Join the party, pal. Guy brought his grandson. Is that your grandson? Yeah, he brought his grandson down. That's a great way to. Now, little man is. He brought a coloring book, and he told him it's a good time to expose him to Twin Peaks. Guys, give it up for Grandfather of the Year right there. That's leadership. That's the kind of stuff my grandfather would do. That's leadership, right? That's a good American right there. We'll come back, talk more about the Falcons and what part of the schedule is a beast. And there's a chunk of this schedule where you're like, man, it's going to be hard to find some dubs. We'll explain live from Twin Peaks and Bucket on Duke's Belt.